We're back at Jazz FM for another Radio Today programme roundtable. On the agenda, presenter style guides, what's happening to overnight radio, the new British Podcast Awards, voice-activated radio in your car, courtesy of Radio Player, and much more. I'm Trevor Dan. Stuart Clarkson's got the latest news, and David Lloyd has some more radio moments. But first, let's meet our panel.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So picture, if you will, this pastoral scene. We have meadows and two hills. Let's meet them.
Hello, very good, Trevor. Yes, I'm Michael Hill, the first of the two hills. I run Radio Player and Radio Player Worldwide, which is the non-profit organisation looking after the kind of user experience for radio on connected devices.
And I'm Matt Hill, no relation, and I am the director of Rethink Audio, which produces podcasts for many different publications, such as The Guardian and Private Eye, and a lot of independent ones as well. And I'm also the co-founder of the British Podcast Awards.
Which we shall talk about in some detail in a minute. Mick?
I'm the Meadows, Mick Meadows. Been told to sound important, so I'm an executive producer. See, important. At the New Virgin Radio, and primarily looking after breakfast with the lovely Edith Bowman.
So let's start a very busy schedule by talking about this.
Fatboy Slim and Praise You. So I just wanted to thank Mark. I want to thank all of my friends, Chris, obviously Paul and my family. Thank you very, very much indeed. I want to thank all of the bands who, when I've approached them, said, would you like to come in and play live? They've been well up for it. And I want to thank you because I've made some great friendships with you all. It's been fantastic. I know so many people all over the UK and all over the world who have been very kind to me, and I really appreciate all your support and all of your emails. And I thank you for your time, and I thank you for letting me into your lives. And this is my final tune, Echo and the Bunnymen, and Nothing Ever Lasts Forever.
Which was followed very shortly by this.
So what are the BBC Radio 2 playlists? Well, if you download the BBC Music app for free onto your smartphone or your tablet, you can take a look around and you can see live sessions, you can see interviews and curated playlists just like this pop ballads one we've put together for you. Simon and Garfunkel with The Only Living Boy in New York. That's the last track on their Bridge Over Troubled Water album.
So there's Phil Gale doing the new Radio 2 overnight show, and I didn't just pick that clip because he made a mistake. Of course, Only Living Boy in New York is not the final track on Bridge Over Troubled Water, but there you go. Mick, I asked you to come on this roundtable because you used to produce Janice doing overnights, and when we talked about this on a previous podcast, we didn't really have anybody who knew what they were talking about. But you do. The value of overnights, because they seem to be becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think The Only Living Boy in New York is the best song on the album, regardless of where it lands.
Good boy.
That overnight club thing is definitely a thing. It's a good audience to target because they're listening. They're listening more than people at other times, I think. Maybe early evenings do as well, but I think it is that company thing. I mean, if you're driven in a car late at night, actually knowing that someone's there reacting is it's company. So it definitely works. There's definitely a loyal audience. I found that they were very good at reacting to what you were doing, and equally, in terms of music, they were very much the sort of audience that would buy something new if they heard it. So they were very involved.
Now, an important person who I won't name, who works at Radio 2, said to me the other day that the real reason these shows had to end is because whilst the station can get up to a 20% reach with its daytime programmes, at night it can be as low as 4 or 5%. And that's a suggestion that their overnight programming isn't as good or as effective as what they do during the day. Now, when you were there, did you have that sense?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of audience research as it is at the moment. I'm
Blimey.
Not entirely sure.
That's the most radical thing anyone's ever said.
It's 100% accurate. I understand the decision from a financial perspective, and I think that's what it is in reality, because And it's a while, it's 2 or 3 years since I was at Radio 2 and in the BBC. But I think that, you know, Radio 2 and Radio 1 and 6, 6 and 2 for sure, have come under a lot of financial pressure, where other BBC networks, 3 and 4, have not. And I think that had they not, they wouldn't have lost the live overnight slot. So I think that it's, there's more than just a, of course they're going to spin it as a decision that isn't in that area, but I suspect there's an element of cuts involved in this.
Mike?
I wonder how much money they're actually saving by doing it, because as far as I can tell, the presenters will still be in the mix on Radio 2. They'll obviously have to employ someone to create the playlisted output for the overnights anyway. So, I don't know, a few tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands, which in the great scheme of things is not that much money to the BBC. It strikes me as a bit of a tactical error, potentially, to target the output that kind of per listener has the most engaged audience of any network radio. I used to help to run Radio 5 Live, and Up All Night, presented by Rod Sharp on that station, had the most engaged audience on the entire network. A fantastic programme, remains so to this day. So, yeah, possibly a tactical error to target such an engaged audience.
And doesn't it say something about radio giving up? Doesn't it say, you know, actually, we'll just do streaming like those other people do streaming?
You do feel as though, by their own argument, they're just giving up on overnights, and that, you know, what happens to the stations that are meant to fill the void? Do they feel like they have to still step up, or is it just now a race to the bottom for all overnight radio, particularly on not just commercial, but obviously BBC local radio as well, which is facing cuts? And, you know, I mean, on the flip side to that, though, I mean, you've got to say that the health of presenters who are just voice tracking is probably significantly better than those that are working overnights. I mean, I do a lot of work with a presenter called Ollie Mann, who used to do LBC's overnights, and, you know, he did that for 2 years, and it takes its toll on someone, and, you know, it's a difficult thing to, you know, for your health. So I think, you know, in the long scheme of things, I think maybe it's good for Janice and other overnighters.
Well, I'm sure we all miss Janice and wish her well. I don't know where she'll turn up, but perhaps at Absolute with Dave Berry from That Capital Radio. What's going on there?
Well, I'm not that surprised, to be honest with you. I gave Dave his first little break, did a demo with him, oh, years and years ago. He's great. He's a great broadcaster. Now, he was, even though he'd done no radio at that point, he had this huge passion for music of all sorts, but more alternative than pop, certainly, and engaging and witty. And I think he's had enough of being constrained. And I think once Lisa left, there were a lot of changes that were happening all the time. And I suspect he just got, you know, I won't use the words, but he got, you know, pretty annoyed and thought, I've had enough. Don't want this anymore. Want to go and enjoy it.
So that is the story that we so often find ourselves discussing, Mike, about commercial radio saying it wants personalities and characters, and then when it finds one, it says, oh, no, don't do any of that stuff.
I think what's also very interesting here is the dynamic it sets up between Absolute, Radio X and Virgin, which I love all three stations, and I feel I'm very much in the target for them, probably a bit old in reality, but musically I'm in the target for them. And I find myself torn between all three, listening to them. So Dave going to Absolute, what's that going to do to the schedule? What's that going to do to afternoons? What's that going to do to the dynamic between those three stations?
I suppose, because I'm not so up on this story as the rest of you, but I'm just picking up on what you just said, Mick, about Lisa Snowden. I mean, do you think there was a plan to replace her and find a new partner for him that was a bit rushed? Or
well,
that,
I suspect, and I don't know anything, so this is conjecture, is that they felt she was a bit old. To be fair, they're targeting a young audience. I'm not entirely sure that just because you're not in the audience, you can't relate to them, but let's say that was the decision. And I think they probably planned it, but didn't realise quite how difficult these things are. You know, I did a not very good doubleheader for years in local radio, and it takes a long time to get that sort of thing right. So that chemistry is difficult to replace. So I think they probably didn't realise how difficult it was, and he's, you know, got to the point where he's gone, I can't be doing with it, no more. I'm gone. And fair play to him, because I imagine the offer of money was decent, you know, from Global, so good for him.
Interesting times at Absolute, with Jeff Lloyd on his way too, and with apparently no job to go to, so maybe Six Music, are we thinking?
Or something on radio that's not broadcast radio.
Ah.
I don't know anything, but I think he'd be a strong nucleus of a podcast brand or something like that.
We should mention Virgin Radio, because we've mentioned these other brands where records of perhaps that sort are played. Mick, how's it going?
It's great. It's like
got
everything.
Any listeners yet?
Yeah, got a few. You know, again,
you know them all personally.
Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah. We had a decent first, slightly wobbly second radio. I'm not sure what the next one will be. I'm not really that concerned at this moment in time. It's a new place, it's a new Virgin, whole new idea. It's a lot of fun. It's run with low overheads, but good people with a really good idea of what they want to do.
How much
new
do
head
you...
of music, who is great, by the way.
Okay. Ask you this about the Virgin brand. How much value is there in the fact that it's called Virgin Radio?
I think there is a lot of value for a startup, because you've got the name already. And it does, when you take that brand, there are brand values that come along with it, which, you know, you don't adhere to them, but broadly you have to. And it fits what we're doing.
I definitely hear more melodic songs in Virgin than I do on Absolute.
Yeah, and it's not as deliberately not as laddie. In fact, it's deliberately the way it was a decision to put a strong female presenter on Breakfast without a zoo around her. That was a decision based on what I and my
not research though obviously
thought would be
because
right.
That's a bad thing.
No, just thought what we thought, but also you've got to look at what your opposition's doing. And we don't have the marketing or the money to build a zoo programme and do that thing that X are doing and Absolute are doing. And they're established presenters with followings. So we have to go, how can we compete with that? We can't compete head on, so we compete with doing something well but different.
What was your touchstones when you were putting that show together to begin with? I was just thinking about, you know, not putting the zoo around her. I've been thinking of Lauren Averne's show on XFM, for example, back in the day. I mean, were there things
very,
you wanted?
I launched that. So yeah. It's a very similar thing 10 years on. What's sad is that 10 years on, yet again, it's the only female doing a breakfast show. That's sad.
Mick Meadows, Matt Hill and Mike Hill are joining me on this edition of the Radio Today programme Roundtable. It's issue number 4, episode number 4. And now is as good a time as any to mention the delightful tweet from John Myers, which we discussed just before we came on. If you haven't seen this, just have a look at Twitter and find John Myers' team and his tweet from this morning, which is simply a photograph of a piece of paper which he's been given by somebody who works on a commercial radio station, and it purports to be, and it, hey, is it fake news?
Fake news.
Fake news alert. Nina. Are these alternative facts? I don't know, but it purports to be a style guide. And let me just quote some of it. I mean, do have a look at all of it. But it says here, always say all the biggest hits all day long at the top of the link, never the end. Say the station name into the new song. These links should be 10 to 15 seconds max and only focus on selling the song coming up. Nothing else, underlined. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Tease into every break. So it's basically saying, hardly say a word. And then right at the bottom it says, be passionate about what you're playing or talking about next. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that it is real. Do you recognise it, Mike?
Well, having helped to run several radio stations, there is a place for rules, because you're trying to create unified sound, a stationality.
Oh! Now these, have to fine you for that
okay,
one. But
these do seem to be crass rules that actually go against what's great about radio competitively. So I think they sound stupid. I would challenge John on where they've actually come from. I want to know. I want to know that they're real.
Well, he suggested on Twitter that whoever's written them ought to be interviewed by me on a future episode of this podcast, which I'd very much like to do. But so far, no one's owned up to writing about it. What do you think, Matt?
Well, you always get the feeling that with a lot of these diktats, the people that aimed at are the kind of younger presenters, the less experienced ones on any station, because these rules never apply to the grand dames of the network, and ultimately it's a red rag to a bull as well. And I suppose the problem for me is that what ends up happening is that you kind of stilt the creativity of the people who are trying to break through and trying to make a name for themselves, make a mark on the station, at the same time as you concentrate on the overall brand of station sound. So, you know, if you're going to make rules like this, I think even these are far too complicated. Even like just rebranding the station to 1FM, for example, or, you know, Radio 5 to 5 Live, it can be a little bit difficult, can't it? And people do get confused on air.
Mick, have you got a style guide of this sort of
version? It's the wrong way around. This is the wrong way around. If you're a new presenter, you shouldn't be given rules. You should be allowed to do something interesting, then given the rules, once you're a personality. Otherwise, and I've worked with people like this, they're just rules. And you just end up with a presenter saying, that was, this is, you're listening to. And when you go, no, but we want, you know, say something to us, they go, what do you want me to say? And I have worked with someone like that not very long ago, who was a great presenter, but unpicking it is way harder than letting someone be themselves, then going, right, now say this, now do it like this. Mm. It's an easier way round. It's a bit more risky, but if you want the future personalities, you have to produce in that way, or you'll never get them.
Also, I know you're not a fan of research, but time and again, the research...
I'm a fan of research, I'm just not entirely sure it's all accurate.
No, but the research shows us, in this case, that brands like Spotify or Beats Music or all the challenger brands for radio are desperate for personality. They want the bits in between the music to shine in their output. They can't achieve it yet, thankfully. No. Radio is the only medium that can.
We're competing with these people, and by doing that, you're just being them, and they're better than we are. They'll give you a better music rollout.
Let me just play devil's advocate for a second. If we're right, is that because we, listening to this and being on it, are all people who by definition like radio, so we like personalities and interesting sound, whereas a lot of people are listening to the kind of stations that this style guide is aimed at just want some background music, and they don't want to be troubled by anything else?
You might be right, but the problem is, as you identified, is that ultimately Spotify and the rest of them will be better. They will do it better, and there won't be an audience to
radio. That's what's happened in America.
That is the problem.
In America, 10 great songs in a row, followed by some crap ads, has been wiped out by Pandora, because Pandora do music better, frankly. So if all you've got is 10 great songs in a row and some crap ads, you're kind of screwed. It might take you a long time to be screwed, but you are kind of...
Let's change the subject and talk about your speciality, Mike Hill. You run UK Radio Player, and you've got some interesting new announcements to make. Can we start with your little box?
Yeah, so this is something we actually announced more than 2 years ago, and it's taken us that long to get it to market. It's felt more like 20 years, actually. It has been the hardest project I've ever run, far harder than actually launching Radio Player in the first place. What it is we realised that radio is vital in cars. We all know that. But car radios are becoming quite difficult to operate as they become multi-platform. You've got your favourites on DAB, you've got favourites on FM, you might have your smartphone linked into your system as well with a separate set of favourites. We decided to try and work out how to bring all those stations together in one safe interface called hybrid radio, so it automatically switches between DAB and FM and streaming. It follows the station you've selected without you having to do anything. 2 years on from that idea, we're finally about to launch it.
Because you made one, didn't you, in your garage?
We did. We had a prototype, which was in a sort of Tupperware box with wires sprouting out of it.
So you had to go to manufacturers and say, can you copy this?
Yeah, it worked. The problem is, of course, taking it from that stage to the stage that's launchable where which is where we're at today, is immensely difficult. Involve, you know, I have such respect now for any developer or engineer trying to create a beautiful radio interface on hardware. It's really, really, really hard. Anyway, we've managed to do it, and we've also made it voice controlled, so that you can set up your favourites on your smartphone, which is the interface that we use, held securely in a dashboard mounter. And you don't need to touch your phone, and you don't need to look at your phone. You can just say the name of your favourite radio station, and it plays automatically.
Now, we can't demonstrate that because we're in a basement, but there is a video of you doing it, and this is what it sounds like.
Radio player. Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio.
So you saw the switch happen quickly. The station name was read out, so I know what I'm listening to without taking my eyes off the road. Radio player. Jazz FM.
Jazz FM.
Radio player. Jack FM.
Jack FM, Oxfordshire.
So this is now streaming because we're out of area. You saw the station switched quite quickly, and it distinguished between Jazz FM and Jack FM, which is quite difficult for a voice system. There's a couple of other things you can do as well. Radio player. Traffic.
This is a signal timing alert.
Very good, Mike.
So you can see more about that if you go to radioplayercard.com. You can see that video and you can see what we've created. That is launching next week. There's going to be a big press activity, major radio campaign across Global and Bauer stations. They're helping us with this as well. And we're going to push out to 30 top journalists a brilliant video card. It's like getting something fantastic for Christmas. You open it and you think, what's this? And there's a kind of blank screen as you open the card. And suddenly that video starts playing automatically on the card so we can explain what the product is to them.
Well, Matt Hill, do you think you or I are one of those top 30 journalists?
Well, I hope so. I look forward to having it as soon as I get a car. Does it attach to a bike? Is that possible?
Yeah, we can do a bike version.
Fantastic.
No problem.
What I do really like, though, is the idea that it is platform neutral, that you are saying play Radio 4 or play Virgin Radio, whatever it is, and it doesn't say, would you want it on DAB or on that, you know, what multiplex
it's
do
about,
you want and all that stuff.
It's about the content. It's about what the station that the listener wants, and that's all they care about. They don't want to know how it's getting to them.
Good news for you.
Well, I was going to say, from the perspective of launching a new station, which obviously significantly launches on app as well as DAB, it's fantastic. Great, absolutely great idea, because people will just, you know, we're still having people going, oh, Virgin, oh, you're back, didn't know, you know, can't get you on a digital retune, you know. Fantastic just to be able to go, get one of these, say Virgin, there we are.
And brilliant. While you're here, Mike, you've also made some steps towards worldwide radio player.
Yeah, so this is, you know, a few years ago when we launched Radio Player in the UK, we started getting inquiries from other countries about what we'd done, and they wanted to use the technology that the BBC, Global, Bauer and the Radio Centre have invested in. So it went to Belgium and it went to Norway, but now it's really gaining ground. It's gone to Germany and Austria and Ireland and Canada and Peru, and we're getting inquiries from all over the world now, continents we'd never even looked at before, because everywhere broadcasters are getting together in groups and saying, what can we do to secure our future in dashboards? How can we talk with one voice to smartphone manufacturers? And the answer is, you can't all do that individually. You can't even do that as a single country. You need to be in a group. And a small non-profit organisation like Radio Player Worldwide has turned out to be a really good way of organising it.
Well, I'm not sure that the new POTUS would agree with your globalisation approach, but it seems the sensible view from over here. Matt, what do you think?
Well, does it? So is the idea that you're syndicating the idea of the radio player to different countries, or are you thinking that might at one point be a global radio player which you could get any station through your device?
At the moment, it's a clone of the UK radio player platform, so the broadcasters from your country only in each of these countries. But radio in cars is a great example. I'm constantly being asked by car manufacturers when I go and see them, can you give us a feed of all the logos for all the radio stations from around the world, please, so our radio can automatically display them? And the answer is, right now, no, but we might be able to help you with that. Then, so yes, there are opportunities to pull all that together.
There must be a few headaches as well in terms of, I mean, take a brand like Virgin Radio, which exists in several other countries as well, being able to specify which country. I mean, you could default to your domestic market, but if you want the Italian or the French version of Virgin Radio, that must be a bit of a tricky one.
It is, but in a connected car, we know where the car is. We've got, you know, probably GPS at the very least, and so the device can make a country-specific request to our API and get the right logo back.
Now, one tiny thing. Why does Alexa send radio stations to me via TuneIn and not via Radio Player?
Because the Amazon Echo was born in the US, and in the US, TuneIn Radio, which is the platform that's powering that default experience, largely gets things right. But outside the US, we've found it's very patchy. Radio Player was asked by Amazon to build an interface for Alexa in the UK when they launched, and we've built one that we think is much better at identifying UK radio station names than TuneIn, demonstrably better actually. And I'm happy to say that Amazon have been convinced as well, because they are shortly to roll out a feature which will let you set Radio Player as your default radio interface rather than TuneIn.
Excellent news. Well, I've got to play a commercial now, so I've just better consult my style guide. It says, always say all the biggest hits all day long at the top of the link, but never the end. It says, we don't want people associating our position with commercials. So, this is the Radio Today programme Roundtable, and here's a commercial.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
And a very good commercial, I thought it was. Didn't you all agree with me? Mike Hill, Matt Hill and Mick Meadows are here. We are talking about stuff. And it's high time we talked about the British Podcast Awards, launched by Matt Deegan and Matt Hill.
Yes.
What's the idea, Matt?
Well, it's been a long time coming, and I thought someone else would have done it by now, but in the end, it happened to be us. The idea of the British Podcast Awards is to celebrate the many and varied high-quality podcasts that are being produced in this country. It was partly set up, I think, because there's so much talk about the American podcast communities that we've kind of got a little bit sidelined, even though we have such a hugely talented production base in this country, some of which have come from the BBC and some have started up through, like I did, I started working really through The Guardian and then made my name elsewhere as well. So trying to get all those together, but also, I suppose, to kind of eke out within the audio industry in this country a space for podcasters to feel like they have genres, they have categories which don't get represented by other awards like the ARIAs and the APAs, because they just a very specific style of podcast can be made. So for the British Podcast Awards, we have categories for true crime, which kind of gives us all the fallout from Serial, all the amazing podcasts that have come out of that kind of area. We've got obviously ones for long-form interview, for comedy, for entertainment, some of which are in radio, some of which are not, and you wouldn't find them in the Radio 4 schedule. So we wanted to create an award ceremony that reflected those things and how listeners could find more of the same.
You, I think, Matt, are possibly the only person in the UK who is a full-time podcast producer. Is that right?
Yeah, I made a bit of a promise to myself that if I wasn't making money from this within a few years, then I should probably give up. And it's been okay, actually. The company I founded, you know, we work with lots of different freelancers to make programs. I found there's a relatively rich vein of publishers, magazines, for example, people like Private Eye, people like The Week magazine, we've just launched one with, who want to have this kind of reactive content, current affairs content, and can't afford to do video. They just, but they want to train their journalists into broadcast journalism. Mm. And so I come in and help them. And that's kind of like the mainstay of the business and what it does.
It's interesting as well to me that the British Podcast Awards just cements the word podcast, doesn't it? That just means that's what they are, and let's stop calling them, it's online, on demand,
I think we've
audio
given up trying to find another word for it,
yes,
haven't we? It's too tiring. It's been too long. It's just podcasts, but actually what it is at the end of the day is just brilliant radio content. It goes back to what I said earlier. It doesn't matter how it's distributed, and it's a thousand flowers are blooming here. Some of them are a bit crap, and some of them are absolutely brilliant.
And I should say there is a category for radio programs that have adapted their content for podcasting, because I think that's quite important. There are some really great examples of radio shows out there that don't just take the live show and cut out all the adverts and music. There's actually, you know, there are new beginnings and ends to those shows. There are separate features. You know, one of the very first big breakthrough British podcasts was the Adam and Joe show on XFM, which effectively had almost like 60-70% new content in that program. And, you know, we've always been really good at that. And I'm pleased to say that Radio Player are sponsoring that category.
Very proud to.
And, of course, Buxton's still doing the podcast. And as it's my presenter... Edith, who's launched Soundtracking, which has done incredibly well. And with your chat about, Mike, the idea of radio and podcasting, over Christmas we broadcast some of her Soundtracking podcasts as one-hour specials, because it's fantastic content with amazing producer directors of film talking about how music relates to them in movie making. And, you know, it works on both platforms.
Have a look at the website. It's britishpodcastawards.com, and they're open already, Matt.
They're open, and the deadline for entries is the 6th of March, the Monday.
High time we talked about what we've all been listening to. I'm just going to start by saying, if you haven't heard Eddie Mayer's interview with Steve Hewlett this week, just do. That's all I'm saying. It's one of the most incredibly moving things I've ever heard on the radio. Mike.
Staying with the podcast vibe, I've been listening to a great podcast called Sound Matters, presented by Tim Hinman. And he, in one of his recent ones, combined two of my very favourite things, which is audio and outer space. He has made...
This is the guy who works in Denmark.
I don't know where he works out of, but he's made a beautiful programme, beautifully mixed, about the sounds of outer space. And, of course, you know, space is a vacuum, but... There are brilliant clips from early NASA launches and astronaut spacewalks. There's Blur's drummer Dave Rowntree in his back garden with a big aerial tracking satellites and listening in on conversations. It's a beautiful, beautiful listen. Sound Matters. Have a listen.
What satellite is this?
This is AO85. It's just near the beginning of the signals now. I think the very first time I heard voices coming from a satellite overhead, that was the most amazing time, really. Because it seems bizarre that it's even going to work at all. You set it all up and you kind of practice and you go, right, I've got to do that, and then it comes overhead, and I've got to do this.
There's something.
Yep, that's somebody. And then eventually it works and suddenly you just hear people talking on this satellite overhead, and you're in your back garden waving an aerial around, fiddling with your radio.
Matt Hill.
I've been listening recently to a podcast called Millennin Millennials, which is a show presented by two women, two black women. It's a speech programme.
Melanin,
which,
as in skin colour.
Melanin, indeed, yes, right. Sorry. Do you know what? I never really said it out loud before. That's where it was coming from. I've just listened to a fantastic episode with Jamelia recently. Not every episode is about celebrities. In fact, I think most podcasts succeed well when they don't go for the kind of the talent that everyone else is going for. But occasionally you have these one, you know, it's a good gateway for new audiences to get into an episode. So it was instantly the one I downloaded. And what you find is, you know, with a long form interview, you get an opportunity to really go in depth with someone on a subject that you wouldn't necessarily have done before, a different take on it. And Jamelia is just so open and so unguarded about a really interesting moment in her life when she was attacked after... verbally attacked online for something she didn't say and was misquoted on Loose Women. So I really, really recommend that. Melanin Millennials, Jamelia episode.
But imagine, so the next day I'm on the show again and my fellow co-host, the same people, they were just like, what on earth has gone on? Like, they were ride or dying for me the next day. And they were like, well, we have to reveal what this was. Like, isn't it clear? Isn't this obviously racism? And the programme was saying, well, we can't call out the papers because we rely on the papers to positively report about the show.
Oh, I see.
Which, wow. And for me, it was like, I understand. And I took on the role that we normally do. I buttoned my lips and I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I let the other women fight for me. And it was like, we're not going to mention racism. Jamila, you just need to go on and apologise. And I'm like, apologise for something I didn't say.
Matt, while you're here, how is the media podcast that you do with Ollie Mann going? Because the last episode was full of basically demands for money.
Yeah.
And saying, if you don't bloody well pay, there'll be no more of this stuff.
I mean, we're not very good in this country at doing the kind of, you know, NPR and all these
public radio.
Yeah, the fundraisers. So that, it's effectively what it is. You know, over the month of January, we've basically said to our audience, you know, who are small but influential, you know, that if you could put your hand in your pocket, that would really help.
And are
help
people
us out.
Doing it, Matt?
They are. And it, I mean, part of it.
Do you
came,
think we should try it?
Yeah, well, you maybe. I mean, I think.
Roy?
I think the problem with, you know, some podcasts do really well with advertisers. And that's fine because, you know, they've got the real scope. They might have, you know, 500,000 people listening every week. But we tie ourselves to CPM at our peril, because when you look at the niche publishers, we have a circulation which is not, you know, it's punching around the kind of the mark of like Broadcast Magazine or Televisual or any of these kind of like, you know, trade papers. And they would command a much higher advertising fee. So, you know, our reaction to that is to go and find our own advertising. And when we don't have those, we ask our listeners to chip in.
So there will be another episode of
there
the
will
Media
be one
podcast.
Next week.
Excellent. We should look forward to it. Mick, what have you been listening to?
Can I bang the drum for Edith's podcast? Matt Whitecross, she did for soundtracking. Who's the guy that's done that Oasis Supersonic? It is Supersonic, isn't it? Yes. What an incredible guy. Really beautiful interview. Great cuts from it, and I just love the fact that, and we'll all appreciate this as audio lovers, none of the Oasis chat with Liam or Noel was done in Vision. It was all audio, and he added the audio to bits of the visuals in appropriate places, which is such a simple but great idea, because when you're talking and you're not in Vision, you say different stuff, and it's a genius piece of work. You make me feel
like I'm alive again. Chris sent me this beautiful tune, Hymn for the Weekend, which wasn't finished. And I was like, oh, it's beautiful. I came up with some ideas. And I said, well, let's get in a room with Andy and you. And he's only available in Air Studios for one night. So we'll get everyone together. This is 2 days before the shoot. We'll book the shoot in. And I sat down. I was like, right, this is the idea. This is what we're going to do. This is what I think we could do. And Chris was like, no, I don't like that idea. Okay, what do we do? Do we not do the shoot on Friday, or what are we going to do? And he's like, well, I want it to be photoreal. I want it to look like the band. I was like, but that's exactly what the technology isn't yet very good at doing. You know, if you want to try and get photoreal humans, it's probably better to shoot real humans who are cheap rather than spend millions trying to create them for nothing.
I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, oh, okay, well, should we not do it? And obviously, you know, me and Hannah, the producer, no, it's great. It's great. Look, we'll film it. We'll wing it. It'll be fine. We turn up on the morning. The Hymn for the Weekend, this kind of embryonic version, blaring out all the speakers, and Chris walks in and goes, oh no, we're not doing that tune. I was like, what do you mean we're not doing the tune? He's like, oh no, we've got another tune. We just played it in the studio this morning. It's going to be great. And we've only got the guitar riff.
No way.
So I was like, well, how are you going to lip sync? He's like, oh no, I'm not going to lip sync in this one. So, okay.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up. Thank you, Mike and Matt and Mick. We've got David Lloyd's Radio Moments to come. This is the Radio Today programme, and that means we have news now with Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
All the biggest hits all day long. This is the news from radiotoday.co.uk. Stay right there for news of Dave Berry's big departure from Capital Breakfast. Also, Fix Radio is coming on its farewell to Howard, Des and Jeff. Keep it locked to the Radio Today programme.
Was that 15 seconds?
Thank you, Trevor. And as you've been hearing, one of the big talking points of the week across the industry was that controversial new style guide for presenters, which was from the Bauer Big City One network. Lots of reaction on social media and some great comedy responses as well from Jack and Talk Radio's Ian Lee. Check those out. The new jock guide then is part of changes to the Big City stations, along with a new strapline. They've got updated imaging and websites. Gone is the top 10 at 10, which moves over to medium wave stations and DAB stations using the two brand. This week, the free radio stations in the West Midlands have joined the Big City network as well, taking shared programming and adopting the new strapline. Big presenter news this week, as it was announced, Dave Berry is leaving Capital London Breakfast for Absolute Radio. Bauer says he'll be doing a daytime show. He hasn't said which one, though. Last month, Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port announced they were leaving Absolute later in the spring. The former Spice Girl Melanie C has joined Magic. She's doing the Magic Request show on Sunday mornings for a few months, covering for Kim Wilde. Mel's previously done a week-long takeover on Magic Chilled, and she also hosted a live event for Magic at Christmas. A new station's being launched on DAB in London, aimed at builders and tradespeople. Fix Radio says it'll provide music, banter and information targeted at bricklayers, plumbers, electricians, plasterers, roofers, painters and decorators, whether they work on building sites or in people's homes. The digital station Jazz FM has an online pop-up as part of Valentine's Day promotions. Jazz FM Loves is playing romantic and sentimental jazz, soul and blues. More sad news to bring you again this week with the deaths of three people from our industry announced. We say farewell to Radio 4 newsreader Howard Philpott, who's died after a short battle with cancer. Also a commercial radio and BBC stalwart Jeff Graham, who's also lost his fight to cancer. He worked as a presenter and programmer at stations including Radio Luxembourg, Capital, Atlantic 252, Rock FM, BBC Radio Scotland, Gadio and many more. And of course, we lost Desmond Carrington this week as well, aged 90. He'd retired in the autumn after 36 years on Radio 2 and more than 70 years after his first radio appearances back in the 1940s. And as mentioned earlier on this award-seeking podcast, the British Podcast Awards are coming. Entries are open now with a closing date of the 6th of March and the winners will be announced at an event at the end of April. That's it for this week. More news, of course, every single day at radiotoday.co.uk.
David Lloyd's Radio Moments.
Phone-ins have become part of UK radio. The origins of the very first one are a little disputed, but one claim comes from BBC Radio Nottingham. It suggested they had the first phone-in this week in 1968. It formed part of a feature called What Are They Up To Now? Here's part of another Radio Nottingham phone-in from those very early days.
And within seconds, in fact, we had a telephone call. It's quite fantastic just how quickly some people managed to ring in. And I'm going to talk to the person who rang in right now. And what is your name?
Colin Sampson.
And right answer, but maybe better luck next week. Thank you, Colin. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Well, well, well. And the telephone is going again, so without further ado, I'll pick it up and see who's on the line this time. Hello?
Just love the way they slam the phone down. The phone-in genre, of course, nowadays has many flavours. There's the angry one.
Well, you have to.
I'm not.
Well,
you're a stupid woman.
Stop.
You're the biggest idiot I have ever had the misfortune to speak to.
I know you are. I know you're a big idiot, but you're bragging.
James Whale, who isn't always angry. There's the one where the caller doesn't quite know what's happening.
People walk across the road, so you've got to make sure that there's no accidents.
Do you drive... Jeff, let's be honest. Do you drive...
Yes, I do.
No, hang on. Let me finish the sentence. Do you drive...
Yes.
No, let me finish.
Yeah.
Do you drive...
Yes, and when I go through the village... They push you along to go faster.
Okay, let me finish this. Jeff, do you drive?
Yes, I do.
Hang on. Jeff? Do you drive?
Yes, I do.
Ian Lee, of course. There's the opinions being challenged one.
Oh, what? And no one would ever let anyone know that. No one would ever leak that or anything like that.
What do you even think you mean when you say that? Of course it has to get out there. If the bloke who is supposed to be leading our negotiations doesn't know what the objectives are, it would be an act of treason not to tell the public that.
Okay, James, listen, if you're going to just listen, if you listen a second.
James O'Brien, doing some great stuff nowadays. There's also the functional phone-in.
A couple more, then. And, Andy, hello.
Hello.
Your number?
Woodlittle 54763.
54763.
That's right.
Got there. OK, what have you got?
I've got a 24-inch black and white television.
Yes.
With indoor aerial.
Yes.
And I'd like a set of remote control disco turntables.
You want what? A set of
remote control disco turntables.
Remote control disco turntables, yes. You got a disco, have you?
Well.
You're going to have one. Yes, you want to have one. Mm. All right. So we've got a 24-inch black and white television with an indoor aerial. Someone earlier was wanting one of those, but unfortunately I don't think they've got any disco turntables. and you want a set of remote-controlled disco turntables. I've got two lovely ones on either side of me here, but I can't really give them away. All right. Waterlooville 54763.
Did anyone back then ever end up with what they were looking for? What was that all about? We used to have hours of that sort of stuff on British radio in the 70s, back when it was all so good and much better than now. Happy birthday to the phone-in, 49 years old this week. Maybe. Robin Scott died this week, 17 years ago, and I suspect as Radios 1 and 2 celebrate their 50th anniversaries later this year, we'll be hearing his voice once again.
Now, with the clock ticking slowly up to 7 a.m, it's going to be time to welcome Radio 1's first early show on 247 metres medium wave, whilst Breakfast Special continues on Radio 2. 10 seconds to go before Radio 1, Tony Blackburn, and Radio 2, Paul Hollingdale. Stand by for switching. Get tuned to Radio 1 or 2. 5, 4, 3. Radio 2, Radio 1, go.
What we don't hear too often, though, is Robin's longer statement about that new station.
Because most of what Radio 1 and 2 are going to do will be live, it's not possible to rehearse and evaluate everything beforehand. And like a new pair of shoes, we shall be breaking the networks in until they fit properly. And we must crave your indulgence if the shoes squeak a bit, though we hope they won't.
It was like a staff meeting on air, wasn't it? Robin Scott, who ran the Light programme as it split into Radios 1 and 2, he died this week in 2000. Now, we do like our letters from the IBA, don't we? Those foolscap typed pages which used to arrive in brown envelopes from Brompton Road, the home of radio's first regulator. This week in 1979, the director of radio at the Independent Broadcasting Authority sent a letter to LBC. And it read as follows. Can you please try to get your folk on air not to talk about commercial radio? Unless that outdated phrase is needed for reason of clarity in a particular context, and instead to talk about independent radio or independent local radio. Imagine that, the regulator choosing your words for you. 1996 now, and exciting times in Worcester.
It's just 10 minutes to go to the start of Wyvern AM on Wyvern FM.
Yes, some years after all the other stations, Wyvern split its frequencies.
Wyvern AM, you're the cloud.
Good morning, how are you? Monday morning, just after 7 o'clock, this is Wyvern AM, 954 and 1530 medium wave. I'm Neil McLeod, going to be doing breakfast over the coming days, weeks, months, and as the boss will let me, years.
Wyvern launching its AM service at last in 1996 for Herefordshire and Worcestershire. It later became Classic Gold, then Classic Hits, and now it's under separate ownership from the FM, it's Sunshine. Another complex AM-FM split was in Northern Ireland, where this week in 1990, Cool FM launched, with the good old Downtown name staying on AM.
Good morning, and welcome to Cool FM, the new music radio service from Downtown Radio. Broadcasting 19 hours a day on 97.4 FM. We hope you will enjoy our programmes, which will feature the music and lifestyle of the 90s.
The launch of Cool FM this week in 1990. It's 50 years since the vast majority of pirate radio stations closed down. That was when the government made it really difficult for you to be British and work on board them wherever they were. Before that law was passed, you could get away with it if your studio in its ship or its fort was outside territorial waters. Now, the pirate station Radio City thought their fort was okay, but the government tape measure said no. So it closed this week in 1967.
Right, well, many thanks indeed to all the lads, and of course our two technicians on duty at the moment, Graham, and also to Phil, and also our two DJs on shore at the moment, Adrian and Eric, and our other technicians, Bill and Ian West. For me, Tom Edwards, for the very last time on Radio City, it's a very good night to you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless, and thank you for being a marvellous audience. Good night, and goodbye.
The end of the pirate Radio City this week, 50 years ago. So, with the death of Radio 3's Patricia Hughes 4 years ago...
Tour across Portland Place... into Broadcasting House.
Chilton fined £5,000 for no logging tapes 14 years ago.
In Hemel Hempstead, Aylesbury and Watford. All for you, Chilton Radio.
And the announcement that Communicore were to acquire those surplus global radio assets 3 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio.
Thanks, as always, to David Lloyd, also Stuart Clarkson, our roundtable panel, and Jazz FM for hosting us. This has been a TDC production, and we'll have more next week. Hopefully someone from Bauer might come on and talk about their style guide. What do you think?
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.